All right, do you want to host? Keeps bouncing around between the two of us.
Yeah, I guess so. Welcome to Talking Fail. This week, we have an action-packed episode for you guys. Remember last week, we said we were going to have a guest, and we have a very special guest, Tyler.
Hey, I'm totally the guest that we were talking about last week, and that's it, right?
And I'm your host,
Will.
So, yeah. I'm your host, Will. I wasn't going to dox myself.
Okay.
I kind of want to pull back on giving personal information on the internet.
You know that I put your first name in the show notes, right?
That's okay. There's plenty of Wills out there.
Okay. So, but really, Arthur promised that he would be here. Actually, no, he didn't technically promise that he would be here. But
he pinky swore.
He promised that he was arranging a guest. And he said the guest was confirmed for this date. And
allegedly, I haven't seen these messages.
It was the Discord, whatever. So, I have not. We have not heard from Arthur, and we have not heard from the guest that is confirmed for tonight. And it's 30 minutes after our normal recording start time, so we decided to start. Ethan said he was coming, but will be a little bit late. I was kind of hoping it would be, you know, by now, but the show must go on. And so it's another Will and Tyler episode. Dang it! I said your name again.
Yeah, and I kind of blew my whole load last week on topics. Like, I really don't have anything else. So we have something of a mess on our hands.
I'm pretty sure you have not seen Game of Thrones.
No, but I listened to a podcast. So three different podcasts that do, like, full spoilers.
Okay.
And I don't care because I'm not going to watch the show. So I know a lot about what happened in the show.
Okay, so I've been watching... for a long time, you know, I finished the show. Tell me about Game of Thrones, Will. I'm curious what you know from the outside based on these spoilers. And I guess spoilers potentially for people who are listening.
It's like one of the biggest shows, so if you haven't seen it by now, screw you.
Okay. That's not what I was going
to
say.
So yes, spoilers. Okay, Game of Thrones. So, there's this throne, and everyone wants it.
Okay.
So, they start having really gory murders and a lot of nudity because of it.
I like the nudity aspect. It was like, okay, we've got two gambits for getting the throne. Gambit one, brutal murders. Or, now hear me out, gambit two. Okay. We all get naked.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting idea. How about we just, you know, vote for it?
Oh, that would be stupid. We can't, like, give the people power. Come on. Okay. Is there anything else you know? Like, any specific characters or specific things?
Well, I mean, I could tell you what happens in, like, the last season. I know all about, like, the stuff Jon Snow does and Dany, Daenerys,
okay,
and her dragons, man. And she used to be with Aquaman, but then it changed to a different actor, and then he died?
They didn't change it to a different actor. He just, his character dies.
Okay. So, yeah, Aquaman dies. She eventually gets her dragons. And then, spoiler alert, winter is coming.
Okay. Which I feel like is kind of disappointing on the whole winter's coming promise.
Yeah.
Winter more like brushed up against the doorstep.
And then was stopped by a, like, 16-year-old girl or whatever.
Yeah.
And I find this particular MacGuffin of there's an entire army that we need to stop, and then you take out their leader and the whole army just like crumbles.
It's an easy fix. It happens all the time.
Phantom Menace.
Looking at you, Phantom Menace. Yeah. Your menace wasn't phantomy enough.
So I'm, based on what I know about the ending, I'm kind of glad I never started it, because it seems like it would have disappointed me greatly.
Though up until the last couple seasons, they've had these giant books to base all the stories on, and it's like, and they like condense stuff down, and like you can't fit everything into the books into the seasons. And then when you get to the end, when the books haven't been written or published yet, you kind of have to just go to the author and go, so what's the plan? Like, who's going to get the throne? What are the steps that we have to take on the show? And
I put a guy in a wheelchair in the throne.
Yeah. Then the author, you know, lays out, okay, well, this happens. The Night King comes here, and then he gets killed by this thing. And then that stops the army. And then they go off and they fight, you know, the dragons go off this way. And it just feels very much like, okay, well, let's just put those beats down where this happens, this happens, this happens, and then the show's over. It was very, very quick. And I'm a little disappointed. Like, the HBO was like, so you guys are making the biggest money maker ever. We would like to give you, you know, your regular 10 episodes for this final season. And the guys who are the showrunners and the writers are like, you know what? We'll do it in 6. And HBO was like, but we have another 4 bags of money. And they're like, nope. We're going to
do... It's like they're the worst negotiators ever.
We've already gotten hired at Star Wars, so... We got to get this wrapped up in like 3 months.
Yeah.
So
I've heard complaints that they half-assed it because of Star Wars.
I don't know how true that is. It's a very fun and simple way to put it. I don't know. I'm not them. I can't really say. It's a convenient out to blame Star Wars for that. But it feels like they definitely rushed it. It could have been more episodes. They chose. All I know is they, HBO said, we'll give you 10 episodes for the final season. And they said, nope. And then they rushed through those 6 that we did get. So, yeah.
That's why I only watch Arrested Development. It can never let me down because I know exactly what happens. I finish it and then I start back over. Like, I can't wait for Michael to go on that boat, and then Lucille steals that other boat.
He's, you know, I think this time he's really going to leave the family, and just him and George Michael are going to go off and do their own thing.
He said it. This is the last time, and he's out. Game of Thrones is officially the worst show ever. Don't bother watching it.
It was good. It's one of those, I think when you go back and you binge through it, and you don't have to wait a week, I think that'll help. You didn't see it, but on the final week of Game of Thrones, normally before every episode of Game of Thrones or any HBO show, there are these, there's the ads for like, here's another show you might like that's also on HBO. Don't cancel your subscription. And, but for the final episode, it was like a whole like 5-minute long commercial for all the other shows that are on HBO and are going to be on HBO. And
please God, don't cancel. Please don't cancel.
Please don't cancel. We're going to make a Watchmen show. Don't cancel. There's a Chernobyl show. Don't cancel.
Game of Thrones prequel, right?
That's coming. Yeah. So, yeah. But you know, that's too far out to really have anything.
Midichlorians and pod racing. I see. It's going to be fantastic.
But one of the things that they had in their Please Don't Cancel lineup was there's an in-depth behind-the-scenes documentary on the making of the final season of Game of Thrones. And it comes out next week. So don't cancel until at least next week.
You can actually see where they accidentally left the Starbucks cup in.
They surprisingly did not touch on the Starbucks cup.
And the plastic water bottle.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't care. They're just cops. It yeah, happens.
It's whatever.
You get a boom mic in there. But so this last Sunday, the documentary from the behind the scenes thing came out. And wouldn't you know it, it's terrible. And this is all my personal opinion. I haven't heard anybody else talk about this. But you know how like in documentaries, they're like, okay, so we're gonna show like maybe some of the writer's room of them talking about the story and some of the challenges they've had, or we're gonna talk to one of the costume designers, and they're gonna talk about, oh yes, well for this family we made sure to clothe them in green to because they're more of a nature, you know, they're more in line with nature. But then the gold people, because they're the money people, and you know, there's, you know, all the different houses and factions and stuff. There's usually a lot of that kind of thing. For this, when they talk to the wardrobe lady, she was just like, I'm late. I need to go to this thing. And they're just like following her around. And she's like walking through the sound sets and sound stages. And she's like, oh, I'm looking for stage 13. Where's stage 13? Or is it stage 7? Where am I supposed to? I really hope you're not filming this. It's just like, okay. There's like, so it's like wasted 5 minutes there. There's one of the, like the set coordinator guys, I think is what it was. He's sitting at his computer, and he's like got the monitor facing the camera, and he's like, yeah, so I'm just, you know, like whatever program they're using to like with the calendar. He's like, yeah, so everybody else has all their date stuff put horizontally. And he's like, I'm kind of the weird one. I have mine vertically.
Oh, I would do diagonal.
And that's the part and this is like in the first like 2 minutes, and that's the part where I said out loud, "This is a horrible documentary." and it really didn't get. I mean, so there are a couple parts that were interesting. There's a one extra who's been in the show for like the last 4 seasons, just in the backgrounds of stuff. Like he never has any lines, but he's this one guy who's like just a random soldier in the background who's survived miraculously all these wars and battles and never gotten killed, and so he makes it to the final end of the show. And so he's, you know, it's kind of a cool thing. He's a genuinely nice guy. He likes to, you know, he's just an extra. He just likes to chat up people and be nice to people. So that was one cool thing that was in the show. But where they had some like behind the scenes footage what's her name, Danny, in her like makeup trailer where they put her wigs on.
Mm-hmm.
And they had like 2 or 3 times where they visit her in the wig trailer. And it's just like, yeah, so do you remember the first time I put this wig on you? And it's like, oh yeah, that was cool. It was like the first episode. And then it's like, oh, yep, yeah, this wig's seen a lot. And they're just putting the wig on. And it's just like, okay, what are we doing? Like, what is this about?
Amelia Clark have like 2 strokes?
What? Did she?
Yeah, she had like 2 strokes in like the last year or something. And it was like really hard for her to finish Game of Thrones or something.
I had not heard this at all.
Amelia Clark. Aneurysms? Oh, I think it was aneurysms, not strokes.
Okay.
Yeah. Two life-threatening brain aneurysms during the early days of Game of Thrones. Oh, okay, it was the early days. Yeah, she was bleeding in the brain. Had, like, brain surgery, I guess.
All right.
She was suffering from aphasia, which impairs a person's ability to process language. In Clark's case, she couldn't recall her own name. That sounds serious. Yeah, I mean, on occasion, I forget Amelia Clark's name. Do I have aphasia?
Do you have anything else?
Not about Game of Thrones, no.
Okay.
I could talk about... you've seen Minority Report, right?
Yeah.
It's an old Tom Cruise movie, future... They can predict crimes before it happens.
Yeah, specifically murder, but yeah.
So there's a scene where, spoiler alert, he gets new eyeballs and he can't like take off the bandages for 12 hours. And the like surgeon doesn't like him because Tom Cruise put him in jail before. And his like master plan to get back at Tom Cruise is he put rotten food in a fridge and he's tricked Tom Cruise into possibly eating rotten food.
Yeah.
I was just trying to think about what this guy's plan is. He left a good sandwich and a bad sandwich and good milk and bad milk right next to each other.
I always assumed I always assumed that wasn't intentional. I thought that it was just he just put a sandwich in there and forgotten about it.
But then why did they go through the trouble of mentioning that he doesn't like Tom Cruise and then never bring it up again?
I agree that's bad. But I just assumed that was for that scene where Tom Cruise is like stumbling around and like trying to find food and drink, and he like, you know, it's gross because he can't see it. There's two sandwiches. He picks up the bad one. Oh man, don't eat it. And then he eats it and he spits it out and it's gross. And then he has to wash his mouth out. So he grabs the milk and it's the same gag again of, don't get the bad one. Oh, he got the bad one. So I just assumed it was that. I didn't really.
I think it was on purpose.
But I mean, if you have murder predicting, systems in place, it's not like the guy could just kill Tom Cruise. Mm-hmm. How far does that go? Like, what if Tom Cruise is on your work table, like, cause he's there for eye surgery, but he's all strapped down. He can't do anything. What if you just like cut an artery to where it's, or something that where he bleeds very slowly? Is that does that get picked up by the precog system?
I believe it would.
Okay.
That's a good point. Like,
I thought it was like a traumatic, like, wasn't it like they explain it? It's like, oh well, yeah, when you know there's a you know anger, you know, a tense bout of anger or something.
If it's like you were planning it beforehand or not.
Right.
Like if it's a spur of the moment thing, there's less warning. Right. But they don't go into like if you give someone cancer on purpose.
How about this? Okay. Freddie Mercury, what if you accidentally give somebody AIDS?
Well.
Do the precogs pick that up?
I don't think it's murder. I think it's accidental.
Okay, all right. What if you knew you had AIDS and you gave it to someone?
Now,
does the time cops show up right then before you about to?
Do they still have the drug that cures AIDS? Because then it's not a death sentence.
Oh, okay.
Scot-free.
What else? Okay, I'm going to put poison in someone's food, but I'm going to put a tiny, teeny piece of poison. That won't actually kill them. It just will give them, like, food poisoning. Make them sick for a day.
They only detect murders.
But then the next day I put two little pieces of poison.
They'll detect the one that kills them, I believe.
And then, okay, all right.
Because they say that they can't stop, like, muggings and rapes. Like, oh, conveniently we can't stop anyone from getting raped. It's not angry enough. Sorry, guys.
Do you think the precogs can detect abortions? Or does that, is that drawing too much of a line or, you know, a definitive stance on?
Well, I guess it depends on if the precog is pro-life or pro-choicer, right?
Do you think that falls on the precog itself?
Yeah, I think it would.
Okay. Well, okay, then why don't we just, as an evil villain who's trying to murder people without getting caught, can we maybe
only
we just
kill babies?
No, I was gonna say that we could try and just get into the precog tank and convince them that murder isn't wrong.
No, because they that's a toughie. I don't know if it can be up to their opinion because they sense it on like some kind of emotional level across space and time. So I don't think it could be up to them. I think they would get the definitive answer of whether it's alive or not.
Okay. All right. I build a machine. all right. We're now in full Saw mode. I've got a guy strapped to a chair. I've got a device. Basically, it's got a gun to his head, and it's got a random yes or no, like flip of a coin. And all I have to do is push the button, and it flips a coin, and it's yes or no. One of the 50-50 shot of kill him or not kill him. Does that get picked up? If it flips to the kill.
If it flips to the kill, yeah, it'll pick it up.
Okay.
Okay, I've got one.
Yeah.
You lock yourself in a room. And you have, like, you have a gun pointed at someone,
yeah.
But you have attached to the only entrance is, like, a wire or something that once they open the door, it's going to kill you.
Okay. So then the SWAT
they
team
sense,
can't...
Yeah, they sense that you are going to kill someone, but if they come in, they will murder you, and they will know about it because of the precog. So they will know what they're doing.
I'll take the same idea and change it and step up a bit. How about this? You got the same scenario of you got a gun to somebody's head. You're about to murder someone, but you also have like a dead man switch in your other hand to a big bomb that will take out a city block or a nuclear bomb or something. So now the precogs or whoever the police have to decide. We can let one guy die, or if we swoop in and stop the murder, the whole building gets blown up. Now we're just doing that train.
That's a tough one.
Now we're just doing that train tracks thing where if you switch the things. Okay, how about this? You and I walk out to the beach. I hit you over the head.
I don't. Like this so far.
Okay.
Keep going.
But I tie you up real quick, like, you know, while you're unconscious, and then I leave you on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there's a giant tsunami coming. Does that get picked up by the precogs?
Hmm.
I'm not actively murdering you, but I'm leaving you in a situation
not.
where it is definite. All right.
Well, is a tsunami a person?
Oh, okay. Then I guess so. Okay, how about
this?
The
tsunami would get picked up for it, and then they would go take down that tsunami.
Okay, how about this? Same scenario. I take you, I knock you over the head, tie you up, but I put you in a pool that has no water in it. Then I drop a hose, and then I turn on the water. It's going to take, like, a day for it to fill up to where it'll kill you. Or maybe 12 hours or whatever. But does that...
I think it would.
Okay.
Okay, how about this?
Yeah.
Same thing, pool. You drop the hose in. You walk over and ask, hey, dude, I'll give you $10 if you turn this knob here.
Ah.
And that starts the water. He gets taken down for the murder, right?
Yeah. Probably, right? I mean... Okay, how about this? I like that. What if there was some kind of same scenario, right? You're in the pool. There's a hose in the pool, but the
why
hose
does it
is
gotta turned... be me?
Because this
can
is
be,
my scenario.
Can it be Arthur?
Nope.
Let's
my
say
scenario.
It's Arthur this time.
Okay, so Arthur's tied up in an empty pool, and there's a hose.
That's why he's not
dangling.
On the podcast.
Oh, you precogged me. You got it. You just got me to admit to murder. Oh man. Okay, but no, Arthur's in the pool, tied up, hose dangling in the pool, and there's some kind of contraption rigged up to where, basically there's a piece of string with a big hunk of meat hanging on it, and if when the meat gets pulled, it turns on the water. And then I let a dog into the area that has the meat.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, do the precogs pick me up then?
I think the dog is going to go down for that one.
But you can't charge a dog with murder, can you? I mean, there's like a, you
know. I don't know, man. We got precogs and new eyeballs being put into people's faces and gross sandwiches. I think they can charge a dog with murder.
Okay. How about this? So this is kind of a similar thing, but changing it up a lot. They have the ability to swap out body parts, right? They establish this. How many body parts do... Okay, hypothetically, I commit a murder, but I escape. But I'm on the run. Obviously, they show that if you swap out your eyeballs, that they will still come after you. How many parts of me do I need to swap out before I am no longer me? And then I can be... I'm off scot-free on the murder charge.
How many pieces do you have to replace on a car before it's not the same car?
Yeah. Like, what is... I mean, is it like my bone structure? Like, the hardest thing to swap it's, out?
What about your soul?
If I'm murdering somebody and I'm going through this much trouble, I don't think I have one. Have we officially rambled enough about how to murder someone in the world of Minority Report?
I think so.
Okay.
I think the key is to, like, not really murder someone, just like leave them trapped somewhere.
Yeah, let someone die due to negligence.
Yeah. Lots of kids can die that way.
Yeah, if only there were the precons picked that up.
Okay. What's have you seen the Crocodile Hunter movie?
If I have, it was like forever ago when the Crocodile Hunter movie first came out. I remember watching the Crocodile Hunter show and all that stuff. I'm pretty sure I've seen it.
Yes. Crocodile Hunter movie
is
a weird mess.
Okay.
Because there's the Steve Irwin stuff where he's like catching animals.
Yeah.
Which basically has nothing to do with the rest of the movie and is not like the same in tone whatsoever.
Is there like a plot? Like, or is it like a...
There's
just
a plot.
Is it, or is it just like the rest of the TV show? Where it's, all right, I'm Steve Irwin, and here's a dangerous animal that'll kill me, and I'm going to put it right up to my face.
That's basically the Steve Irwin stuff. It's like they filmed a couple episodes of the show, and then they just handed the footage off to, like, a film studio and then said, here you go, finish the movie.
Okay, so it's really just a big episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
How would you think... a Crocodile Hunter movie would begin?
Well, it'd be okay. Well, here I am. I'm Steve Irwin, and here's my family. And
you'd think it would be that. And here's
a crocodile that I'm gonna go put my face next to.
You'd think that it would be something like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Opening shot. Space.
Space.
A satellite.
Okay.
And then like an asteroid hits the satellite, and the satellite explodes.
Okay.
And then the black box of the satellite plummets down to Earth.
I don't think satellites have black boxes.
It did. The Crocodile Hunter movie said so, Tyler.
Okay. Sorry. I'll call Elon. Let him know.
And wouldn't you know it? It lands in like Africa, and a darn crocodile eats it.
Okay.
And wouldn't you know it, Steve Irwin's gonna catch that crocodile.
How is he gonna get the black box out?
He doesn't know about the black box. It's pure happenstance.
Okay. This is worse than I imagined.
And so the U.S. government is coming to get the black box, but Steve Irwin... See, he thinks they're poachers coming to kill the alligator.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, how are they going to get the black box out? I mean, I think they are going to kill him.
Oh, but... they get the black box out.
Oh, okay.
And so the reason I'm torn with this movie is everything with Steve Irwin is like actually really good and interesting to watch because it's kind of just like the show. There's like a 10-minute scene where he's wrangling an alligator, and they're just legitimately filming him catching an alligator, and it's like actually tense to watch. It's pretty cool.
That's cool.
And then the rest of the story is garbage. It's like CIA people. Everything is dubbed that isn't like Steve Irwin doing stuff. Constantly.
Are there any other names in this? Like, did they hire any other actors or anything? Like, is there anybody I would recognize other than Steve Irwin and his family?
There's one guy that looked familiar, but I can't really say where I know him from.
Okay. And it's supposed to be the American government? Is that, or is it like Australian government?
It's a joint thing because there's a girl that's from Australia.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
David Wenham.
Wenham. The name sounds familiar.
He looks vaguely familiar, but I can't really say. Oh, 300 and Lord of the Rings. That's what it is.
Who is he in Lord of the Rings?
Isn't he the son that gets lit on fire, but then he wakes up because he's not actually dead?
All right, I'm looking him up for myself. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's Boromir. No,
so yeah,
Faramir.
He's the only big name.
Faramir.
Faramir.
Yeah.
So, how do you think they got the black box out, Tyler?
Did it poop out?
It's a big giant turd. Yep. Classic.
Okay.
One of the no-name actors is like a fat lady that looks like she's had a stroke. The whole movie, she doesn't move like the right half of her face, but it's like an intentional thing.
I wonder
if
she's
very strange.
I wonder if she's a famous Australian person that, like a cameo, but we just don't understand because we're plebeian Americans who don't know Australians. Yeah.
So I would recommend that you watch that movie, but just skip to all the Steve Irwin parts because it's pretty good.
Okay. I'm curious. I want to put out there, Josh Zugai, a friend of the show from Australia. What do you think of this? He can't respond because I haven't edited anything yet. But
I was kind of hoping he would.
He'll let me know. Probably if he hears this or not. I don't know if he, whatever. I think do you want to wrap things up?
Yeah, sure. Right after I mentioned, I never realized this, but did you know that the stingray that killed Steve Irwin, like according to the internet, it said it stabbed him over 100 times?
I think I read something.
It's like,
yeah.
That's really sad. I never thought about it. In my mind, it was always just he got stabbed once and died instantly.
Yeah, because that's how you want it to be. Like, you want it to be a quick...
And now that I'm thinking about it, there's no way it was that. And it was probably really long and painful. And it, like, makes me really sad.
Thanks. Now I'm really sad. And I'm pretty sure everyone listening is really sad. Even if they don't even know who Steve Irwin is.
And it was the cameraman's fault.
Was it?
According to, yeah.
Well, okay.
He, like,
okay. There's a
caused
little...
a shadow that, like, made the stingray think there was a shark or something.
Okay, I get that. But there's also, I mean, I'm sure this is different for the cameraman, if that is true. But, I mean, you're swimming right next to a really dangerous animal. Like, that was the whole point of being there, was to get up and close, and like, you have to kind of distance yourself a little bit there. Like, you can't blame yourself for all of that, but that would be rough if to be that cameraman and just accidentally be in the wrong place and make a shadow. Do the precogs pick up if I intentionally shadow? Never mind. Okay.
Why didn't the precog stop Steve Irwin's death? I need answers.
All right. I think that's going to be the end of this one. We'll keep it short and sweet. Ethan didn't show up in time. RIP Steve Irwin.
Steve Irwin. Yeah. Do you think his wife, you know, his wife's always with him on the TV show. Do you think she saw?
I assume that that was the case, or at least Bummer. Up in a boat, you know, right at the surface or something. Yeah, let's keep talking about this really sad thing. That's a great way to end the podcast.
Plus, they take their kids with them a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Everybody, be sad this time.
Okay. Real quick, Crocodile Hunter movie.
Okay.
There's one scene that I legitimately don't know how they filmed it. So there's a scene where he ties a rope around a crocodile. They're on a boat.
Yeah.
And then the crocodile jumps off the boat.
Okay.
And he's holding on to the rope and, like, basically being pulled on the boat by the crocodile.
Okay.
And you can see the boat is, like, driving around, being led by this rope that leads underwater.
Yeah.
How did they pull that rope so far underwater like that?
Okay, in James Bond from like the 60s, and I know these are real things, but this is where I've seen them from. They have like the scuba divers, and they like grab onto these big like, they're like jet skis, but they're made for underwater submarine things.
And yeah, it's just like a hand thing that you hold on to.
Yeah, you hold on to. Is there something like that? But they have to be, depends on how fast the
boats are going. It looks so taut, like, and in such a perfect placement. That I don't think it could have been that. It looked like there was some serious tension on that.
Hmm.
I really don't know how they filmed that. And it's actually impressing me.
Josh Zugai, friend of the...
How did they film that?
How did they film that? How do Australians film boats with ropes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I can't believe it's not RIP. Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
He's still alive.
I feel like this is like maybe the second or third time we've even done RIP Mel Brooks.
It surprises me every time he's still alive, though.
Every time he's still alive. Yes.
And Niki Lauda died. So RIP to Niki Lauda.
He's
F1 a F1 racer.
Is he French? I think he was French. Yeah, race car driver. Got really burned in the 60s or 70s. But he... No,
he had complications from a lung transplant, I believe.
And I'm pretty sure the lung got messed up from maybe having been burned alive in the 60s or 70s.
Sick burn. I made a pretty good joke that our dad didn't like, where he mentioned the lung transplant thing. And then I said, really? Was he a big smoker?
All right. Well, that's the show, everybody. See you next week. Maybe other people will show up. I don't know.
Is this just going to be the Tyler and Will podcast from now on? Josh, let us know. Josh is a precog. What if you were precog, but you could only predict how podcasts are going to turn out?
What if you're a precog, but you could only predict when someone is going to smoke weed, but then weed gets legalized?
It'd be a lot of finding out that you're about to smoke weed today.
Thanks, Gary. I know. I bought it. I was planning to smoke it this evening. Thank you.